share with you this morning from the book of Psalms, chapter 119, if you want to turn there. And as you're turning there, I'll give you a little background on this very important psalm. Traditionally, it is believed to have been written by King David. He wrote it as an older man over the age of 60, which, of course, he died at 70. And the theme of the psalm is something that he went through in his life, and it's believed that he left this for Solomon and for all of his sons to teach them how to conduct themselves as younger people. And of course, it's not just confined to younger people. It goes for all of us. But it's important for us to focus in on what David is saying this morning, because as it helped him, it will help you and I as well. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, I'm going to begin reading with the ninth verse. Just to give you a little more background, the Psalms are actually songs, and this one is a song that David wrote. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, 172 verses, and it has 22 sections in it. Each section is made up of 8 verses. And so if in your Bible you see a word like this one on chapter 9, verse 9, it says Beth. Beth is a B in the Hebrew language. And so each of the 22 sections begins with the Hebrew alphabet, and it's actually a stanza. It's the lyrics to the song that he wrote. Now, if you listen to modern culture as it is now, and you hear the rap artists, you'll hear this phrase, yeah, he got bars. He got bars. Anybody ever heard that? It just simply means that he has lyrics. The problem is with modern rap music, if you listen to the lyrics, it fills you with sex, it fills you with drugs, it fills you with violence, and it fills you with negativity. These are David's bars. And when David sang, he was a musician. And when he played his harp and he sang, it caused the devil to leave out of a person, not put the devil into a person. And so it's important that we listen to these lyrics that we have benefit of. Beginning with verse 9, what David is going to do, he's going to ask a question in verse 9, and then he's going to answer the question. And then he's going to spend the next 7 verses explaining the answer to the question in the filter of his own experience in life. Psalms chapter 119, verse 9, wherewithal, simply means by what means shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence, your goodness upon our lives. We thank you for these souls that we are able to baptize this morning. We ask you for the touch of God upon their life. Let this not be a day that just comes and goes with them, but Lord, let your Holy Spirit abide upon them. Draw them closer to you. We pray also this morning asking you to bless the offering that we receive throughout the day across the internet here within the worship room. Those families that give, we ask you to bless them, return it upon them according to the promises of your word. And Father, I ask you that you would help me to proclaim this confidently this morning in such a way that your people are able to grasp it, to understand the meaning of these lyrics. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name, thanking you for it. Amen and amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, he says a young man, but it would go the same for a young woman. And it would go the same for a middle-aged or older man or woman. How do we cleanse our ways? We live in a culture where the whole culture is turned against you as a God-fearing person. Everything in the culture is negative to your walk with Christ. But the culture is more focused on young people than anyone else. And it has always been this way from David's day all the way through until right now. I know as a young person, the culture was such they had movies about a couple of dope-smoking characters called Cheech and Chong. You ever heard of them? I know I'm aging myself. And they made dope-smoking look fun. It looked like it was the thing to do. And of course, being a young person at that time, I started smoking dope. Because, I mean, Cheech and Chong smoked it. And I stumbled for the first 28 years of my life on drugs, alcohol, trying to get my moral equilibrium back so that I could stand in a righteous position. And it was only with the help of God at 28 that I was able to come out of what I went through. Well, in the hour that we're in now, young people have they're more fiercely targeted than ever before. The drugs are stronger. The alcohol is more easily accessible. Some of the drugs are actually free, and the sexual perversion is over the top, even to the extent that young people will alter their bodies. And it takes, some will never recover. For others, it'll take decades for them to recover. I know one young man, as I was coming up, it was just Cheech and Chong then. He spent the next 30 years a heroin addict. Because our culture targets our young people. It targets also the middle aged and even the older people, to some extent, are a target for the culture. And so David writes, and again, he's talking to Solomon and his other sons. He says, by what means will a young man cleanse his way? How do I stop the cultural defilement that is taking place at any time with everywhere I go, everything I'm exposed to, it pulls you towards the darkness. How do I cleanse my way? And David answers the question. He says, by taking heed thereto according to the word. By taking heed. Now, it doesn't mean just simply buy a Bible. It doesn't simply just mean have a Bible app on your phone. It doesn't just simply mean to read the Bible. It means that you apply your whole heart and your whole mind to the Word of God, because that's the only thing that's going to hold you. But as you attempt to get into your Bible, the culture is pulling you in a different direction. You got to see the game. You got to go over to so-and-so's house. You got to do this thing or this other thing, something to hold your mind so that you can truly apply your intellect and your heart to the Word of God. But David says, here's the way that a person can cleanse their way. It's by getting down to business and getting serious with the Word of God. Now, there's a big imbalance when it comes to the Word of God. All of us have some degree of intelligence. God gave you that. It amazes me how you can take a person, let's just say the NBA, can know all the players' names, all their statistics, how tall they are, how many points they made, where they went to college, what team they're playing, can keep all that straight, but can't understand one verse. It's not because they're not intelligent. It's a matter of application. It's a matter of saying no to the culture and applying themselves to the Word of God. So David says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. It means don't neglect the scripture. Don't neglect this book. In this book are the issues of life. This book can give you wisdom so that when problems come your way, and problems will come your way, that you don't have to wonder, what do I do? It will be instinctive in your heart. You will know what to do in many of the problems that you encounter. Now, what a lot of people do, they encounter the problem. They say, oh my God, where is the answer? Let me see, where's the answer? This book don't work like that. You got to put this book in your belly. You got to put it in the inner man. And when the problem comes, the answer, the Holy Spirit will give you an answer. You don't have to think beforehand how you're going to deal with it. The self-same hour that the issue arises, the Holy Spirit will prompt you on how you are to respond. So he gives the question, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? He gives the answer by taking heed to the word. But now he gives us the benefit of his own life. And understand, David. David was a shepherd. He was a warrior, the bloodiest king that God ever had, and he was a king. He was a man after God's own heart, the scripture says. But understand what that does not mean. It does not mean that God's heart was always totally aligned, David's heart was always aligned with God. It does not mean that. David was a murderer and an adulterer. He killed so many men, God told him, you can't build a temple. Your hands are too bloody. What it means is that David was a man that always pursued after God's own heart. In his uprisings and his downfallings, when he was successful or when he failed, he always pursued God. And so he says then in verse 10, he's explaining what taking heed looks like. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Now that's important. A half-hearted effort is not going to do it. And can we be honest this morning? Most of us in here are doing a half-hearted effort. We barely read it, and reading is even not sufficient. The Bible never told you to read the Bible. It says study. It means you open up them pages, get your concordance, but by now you ought to be able to do it on your phone or on an app because it's faster, and really get down into the Word of God. Understand what it's saying so that with all of your getting, you get an understanding. It's wonderful to quote Scripture. I love quoting Scripture when I can remember them. You know, when you're young, you can fire them off like that. But when you start getting older, you got to go read that again to make sure you have it straight. It's wonderful to quote Scripture. But it's better to understand what the Scripture says. Because merely quoting it, it's like saying a poem. It's like singing a song. You just know the lyrics. But to understand the meaning of the content that was given in that verse, that's what's really important. So David says, with my whole heart. It wasn't a half-hearted effort. With my whole heart, meaning that we're here as a congregation this morning. Thank God for it. We're all hearing the Word of God. Thank God for that. But this requires a personal pursuit. See, if all the gospel you ever get is when you come to this church and you hear the preacher preach, that's not enough gospel. As a matter of fact, you ought to have enough gospel in you that when the preacher's preaching, you know whether that's right or not. Does that bear witness with the word? I love it when I'm preaching and I can see people's lips moving. They're quoting the scripture right as I'm quoting them. I say, yeah, that one got the word in them. That's how you know. But in this last hour, people hardly don't have the word of God. People treat it as something, you know, it's 10 o'clock, I'm going to bed. Well, I better devote 15 minutes and read three verses here. And I thank God for 15 minutes, but I'll just be honest with you, 15 minutes don't cut it. Amen. The movie you watch is longer than 15 minutes. You know, but if you set aside an hour or two, just say, I'm going to dig into this word. I'm going to go into this passage of scripture, stay out of Revelation, into this passage of scripture. And I'm going to get an understanding of why the Lord wrote this to me and what he's saying to me. And you'll find suddenly your spiritual life will begin to blossom. You'll find that your natural life, the equilibrium, will begin to stabilize. And God works in your life through his word. When the Holy Spirit deals with you, when he talks to you, many times he is speaking in a language called Bible. You look at Paul, when Paul gave the great revelations of Romans or Galatians, what he did is he went back to the Old Testament and he just simply opened up the scriptures. And it's given us a theology that the church has lived on for 2,000 years. But we have to apply our hearts. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, this is so good. Have I sought thee? In other words, David is saying, I was looking for you. He's not saying I already had you. He's saying I'm looking for you. I'm seeking for a deeper relationship, a deeper knowledge, a deeper understanding than what I have. And it's the same thing that you and I should be doing. He goes on to say, let me not wander from thy commandments. Wander. It means a slow drift away from the things of God. It means that one time you may have been here in this solid place with God, walking strong into his word, but Satan don't deal with you in a day or a week. He takes his time and works with you. And little by little, you begin to allow your disciplines to fall off and you slowly drift away from the things of God. This is very common. It happened to Solomon when Solomon was a young lad. God came to Solomon and said, ask me anything that you want and I'll do it. And Solomon says, give me wisdom to lead this great people. And God was so amazed at Solomon, he said, because you didn't ask for riches and you didn't ask for long life, I'm going to give you wisdom. But just because you got it so right, I'm going to make you the richest man there's ever been and that there ever will be. I mean, Solomon started right. But little by little, the spiritual drift. He started marrying the heathen women. Every time he had a new treaty with a new country, he married the other king's daughter to bind the treaty, and they were heathen. You got to watch who you marry. And little by little, he started that slow drift. He started to wander from the things of God. Until by the end of Solomon's life, 700 wives, 300 concubines. And the Bible said they drove him from the Lord. It didn't happen in a week or a month. It happened over the course of a lifetime. And look back at your life. Is there a time that you were on fire for God and now there's just cold embers left, trying to hold on just so you don't go to hell? Amen. But here's what you have to do. Return to the Word of God. Return to a study of the Word. Get down deep and dig into the Word of God. And he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He'll put an artesian well inside of you so that when you open your mouth, the Word of God is coming out. He says, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Come on, this is what you and I have to do. David is saying this worked for me. He's saying the word of God, I hid it in my heart. It means I didn't do it just for outward showing, but I did it for my own benefit. I put this word down deep in my heart. In my heart, it means that it began to dictate where I went, how I spoke, how I acted, what kind of attitude I had. The word of God comes in, it begins to take over. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the eternal Logos, the Word of God. When he comes in, he can't come in but nothing but God. He don't come in to negotiate with you and I. He don't come in to try to just fix this and fix that. He'll take your drug problem, but he don't just want your drugs. He wants all of you. He wants all of your life, your whole heart. He wants it all. And you'll find out that he'll do better for you than you could have ever done for yourself. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the problem, what the addiction is. If you'll give yourself to Jesus Christ, he will fix that thing. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that, here's why I did it. I put your word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. That's, you know, the problem with the human race is sin. Okay, let me bring it home. My problem and your problem is sin. And he said that I hid the word in my heart so that I wouldn't sin against you. When you're on fire with the word of God, it becomes difficult to sin because the word rises up on the inside in a moment's time and says, see thou doest it not. Touch not the unclean thing. Set no evil thing before thine eyes. The word of God just becomes to come up immediately and counter any evil thoughts that you have in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You know, sometimes we think that we commit a sin and we think, well, nobody saw it. It was my secret sin. But the scripture says everything is open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's not, listen, God is an infinite being and he is omniscient, meaning that all that is knowable, he knows. And there's nothing hidden from him. And so when we sin, our secret sin, that's a sin against our Creator, who is an infinite being. He deals with matters of eternity. This is why some folks go to hell forever and ever and ever, not because their sin was so bad. You're dealing with an infinite God. And every sin is an offense to him. And David is saying, I put this word in my heart because I realized how crucial it was that I don't sin against him. Verse 12 says, blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Here's something you have to realize. If you're a born again Christian, you don't even have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just born again. When you sit down in seriousness to get into this word, the Holy Spirit will sit down right beside you. Right beside you. And he'll start opening your eyes and you'll start seeing things in the word that I never saw that before. I've read the Bible for 40 years. And there's still times I come to it, it's like, oh my God, has that been there the whole time? Or I'll hear somebody else preach it. Pastor Ike had a wonderful message a few weeks ago. He was talking about Jesus being in the hinder part of the ship. And he revealed that the hinder part of the ship, that's where all the controls were for the ship. And Jesus in our lives, he sits in the controlling area of our life, but we don't wake him up. But God will reveal beautiful little truths in his word because the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus said when he has come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Well, here's the truth right here. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into it, but you have to incline your heart to understanding. You have to hide the word, make an effort to hide the word of God in your heart. And if you're just starting, let me just say this. Get in the New Testament, after Matthew, before Revelation. That's the new covenant right there. That's what you have to understand to know how to live for God. So many times new Christians venture back into the Old Testament and they're putting on prayer shawls and they're doing all type of stuff that was under the law. The law has been superseded by the New Testament. Now you don't have to have a prayer shawl. You have to have faith. You have to believe God. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. David here is showing a dependence upon God. Understanding the scripture is not simply an intellectual exercise. Your intellect is used, but we are dependent upon God to give us what he has in his word. Let me say this. It is impossible to know anything about God at all except he reveal it. That's the only way you can know anything about him. Now, he revealed much through the incarnation of Christ. He reveals, honestly, a whole lot. I almost want to say even more through the scripture. But you have to hang on every word. Yeah, every little phrase, you have to grab it and you have to hang on it. And you have to meditate upon it until the Holy Spirit begins to open that thing up. Let me make this statement. God has no capacity to learn anything. Does that sound right? The reason he can't learn anything is that there's not one data of information in creation that he already doesn't know, past, present, and future. That's one reason. The other reason is he said, I am the Lord, I change not. And if he were to learn one single thing, that means he changed in his knowledge. That means he can't be infinite. He can't be God. But if we hang upon the word and press into it and read behind other biblical scholars that can maybe give us more light, we come away with a much greater understanding. Most Christians understand God only through the incarnation. And their image of God is a Jewish man with a rod and a little shepherd on his shoulder. You know, and the Bible, Jesus wasn't a shepherd. He wasn't a shepherd in the Bible. In his life, his incarnation, he wasn't a shepherd. He was a carpenter. And then he was a rabbi, or rather a preacher. But sometimes we let our traditional understanding just kind of take us away. I've got to rush here. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. It means that when you put the word, when you hide the word inside of you, it's going to come back out through your mouth. Having the word of God is not a private thing. You acquire it privately, but then you begin to broadcast it because it stirred you up inside. Before I got saved, when I talked to you, I was talking to you about where to get the good dope at and what the last high was like and what we're going to do for the next high. That was my whole world. But when I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and began to get into this word, I got nothing to share with you but the word of God. I don't want to know about the next high. I don't want to know about your last high. I don't want to know any of that. As I often say, if I know you got dope, I will drop a dime on you. I'm the preacher. You better hide it. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. It means my life has now been shaped by the word of God that I've hid in my heart. And I can say that along with David. My life is only the word of God. Everything else has been excluded. I don't follow any sports. I don't watch TV. All of the things that normal people might do, I have no interest in that. I write commentaries. I read the word of God. I try to, with all of my strength, to increase my understanding. I can pull up to the stop sign with a thought on my mind about the word. And I pull out my phone at the stop sign and look it up real quick. Ah, that's what it is. That's what you want to get to, a place that the word is everything to you. Now you say, well, that's a boring life. Yeah, but I don't have problems. I don't have problems. Me and my wife are opposites, but we don't argue. I all my bills get paid on time, and I have excess money left over because I didn't spend it on that ticket. Yeah. I don't care what the newest phone is. The one I got is working fine for me, so I didn't have to spend no money on that. God begins to give you wisdom so that you don't make the mistake that culture pushes us into. Culture tells you you need that new phone. You need that new car with a $900 payment. Amen. And you need a house that got two more bedrooms than you actually need in it. And so there goes all your money. And you say, well, the president got us all messed up. Honey, I don't care how high the gas goes. It don't affect me at all. I don't even look at the pump. And I know people say, I got to stop because I'm just. People say, that's because you're the preacher and you're stealing the money. If I was stealing the money, I wouldn't bring it up in front of you. I get a paycheck like every other employee. It's illegal for me to put my hand on the money. But yet God takes care of all of my need in accordance to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, because I have inclined my heart to him. And he welcomes you this morning. Incline your heart to him. Give him everything. Give him everything. Don't hold nothing back. Oh, God. This is my daughter that leads the worship. Because I've lived like this since she was a little girl. She was a grown woman before she ever seen her daddy's knees. Because holiness is right. I know that sounds like an old word. I'm not with it. But it's working for me. It's working for me. I got no problems. You got to check your own life out. I will meditate on that precepts. That means I will think about it. It's not just a casual passing by the word of God saying, well, it's time to study. Man, I got to study and cut it 5 minute shorts because your program is coming on. No. It means you've inclined your whole life to this and you meditate, you delight in God's testimonies. You delight in his word. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Just meaning that every aspect of life, the word is what is important. Here's a good practice to do. Get up in the morning and read a passage of scripture. And wherever your mind is idle through the day, think on that scripture. Begin to flip it over. Turn it around. Look inside of it. Look on the backside of it. Read it in the positive, the way it's written. Then turn it to the negative and read it that way, because it just opens up. And then if you have a little time, get you a good commentary, a good commentary, a good one. Like a Barnes & Noble, that's a pretty good one. Not Barnes & Noble, Albert Barnes. Albert Barnes, that's a pretty one, good one. David Guzik is a good one. We've got some good ones on the slat board out there. But get a good commentator to help you open that word up so you can see things in it that maybe you never saw before. Now you have more light that the Holy Spirit can give you even more light on top of that. But the psalmist said, I will not forget thy word. Every day you need to spend time in this book. And then when the storm comes, you don't have to wonder what's going to happen. You don't have to wonder whether you're going to stand. The Bible said the storm did come and it beat vehemently upon the house, but that house was founded on a rock. The rock of God's word. The rock of God's word. Hallelujah. I wish I had another half hour to share with you, but I don't. So I hope you got something out of this today. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for the engrafted word that can save our very souls. Lord, it teaches us all of the truths of this life and the life to come. It presents you, O God, not only as our Savior, but as our sovereign. We thank you today. Lord, we ask you that you would move right now with heavy conviction upon my heart, the heart of all those under the sound of my voice. Lord, that we can cleanse our ways by taking heed to the word of God. That we can study to show ourselves approved, being workmen that need not be ashamed. That we can come to a place of understanding that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Father, lay that conviction upon every heart in the room, upon every heart. If you would this morning, if you would stand to your feet, and just with this same spirit that we're in now, why don't you just lift your hands to heaven and say, God, open the eyes of my understanding. Cause me to understand, Lord, that I have read, and give me a conviction of your Holy Spirit that I might spend more time in the word of God, less time on TV, less time following the sports, and more time with the word of God that I might grow. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. He's not angry at you. He wants you to have this. Just open your mouth and tell him, God, I need more than what I have. I ask you to convict me on a daily basis that I come aside and find myself alone with you, that I might seek you in spirit and in truth. Come on, just reach out.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for the truth. We thank you because your word says that if we ask, we shall receive. If we knock, the door shall be open. And if we seek, Father, that we will find. So, Father, help us to ask, to seek, and to knock, Lord Jesus. Help us not to just think that things will just fall in our laps, but help us to actually simply crave your word as newborn babes. Help us to have a hunger and a thirst for you, Lord. Because truly, when we hide your word in our heart, that's how we grow. That's how we become people that can move past things that have easily weighed us down. So, Father, this morning, once again, we just thank you for the truth. We thank you because you give truth to those that you love. And then you give us grace to walk in that truth. So we thank you for the grace to walk in the things that we have heard. We thank you because it's not going to be by our own works or by our own strength, but truly it will be by your grace. Once again, God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen and amen. 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 Well, once again, thank you guys for being out here with us during our Sunday service. And for those that came for baptism, thank you for coming out and showing love to your family and friends. One quick announcement, as always, it's good to worship in giving. So as you guys know, there are several ways to give. So please feel free to give as you are led by the Lord. Amen. With that being said, you are dismissed. See you guys here Wednesday night for Bible study, for more of the word. As Pastor just said, if you want more, come out Wednesday at 7. Amen.